column on the Daily Maverick written on Monday says, why is it that we're talking so much about race and we're not talking, we're not debating about incredibly important things like unemployment and how fixing unemployment could help to reduce inequality? Why are we always talking about race, talking about race, talking about race and talking about race in such a divisive way? Dylan and Lita are back in the studio with us a year later. How's it, guys? How's it gone?
Yeah, it's been very good. Thank you for having us on the show, John. Really appreciate it. The last year we've learned a lot as the social literacy conversation. We've encountered a lot of these kind of perspectives that you mentioned now about concerns about it being only about race. But I think something that we really want to reiterate today is that when we speak about transformation and diversity, these two things, they're often in the imagination of South Africa, they're associated with race, but they're about so much more than that. They're about gender, sexuality, religious identity, cultural identity, and it's really about creating inclusive spaces where you can get a variety of different people to feel comfortable.
And how often do you achieve that, Lita?
First of all, I just want to say thank you again for having us back here, John, and greetings to your listenership. How often do we achieve that? Well, we've been working with an NGO that has bases and branches nationally. And what we've realized is if you sit and you educate people about what transformation isn't, and what it isn't is the confluence of demographic change and the lowering of standards, but rather what it could be, which is assessing the dominant culture, assessing the DNA of an organization and changing that perception that this is something positive which can grow your organization, then you actually do achieve that. It's educating people to see that this whole the political discussion regarding race and the negative perceptions, you need to take it in your organization and look and say, what actually is our dominant culture? What actually are the behaviors and thought patterns which exclude people? And once you think in those terms, then you can have a much more positive organization and one that can work towards a better a future.
We have been trying very hard to get Thuli Madonsela on the radio because she sent out a tweet in the immediate aftermath of the release of Advocate Maleka's report into what happened at Supersport with Ashwin Willemsen, which he found there was no obvious or subtle intended or unintended racism. And she said that this is the wrong way to go about it. To go in with lawyers is the wrong way. And equally, I would assume that she would think going to the Equality Court or the Human Rights Commission would be the wrong way to deal with this. And she said that to try and manage diversity within the Supersport organization is the way to go. And then we heard it became public quite long after the letter was sent and became public quite shortly before we were told that the matter had been sorted out, the letter sent by four other black Supersport employees. So, I mean, let's use Supersport as an example. What would you do? How do you go in there? And how do you deal with Ashwin Willemse, still through his lawyer, saying he felt belittled, undermined, he felt that racism was part of this?
I think, firstly, what Lita and I were actually chatting about this the other day, and we were thinking about the extent to which, you know, as you were saying, someone with maybe a legal background or a lawyer and media coverage and a report that's produced in, you know, a couple of weeks, it often can't really get to grips with the subtler forms of microaggressions, of discriminations which an individual may be facing on a daily basis. And I think our model is quite effective in terms of getting into an organization, going and doing in-depth research through, first of all, training, using training seminars to get everyone on the same page in terms of where this project can go and should go. And then secondly, to undertake focus groups and interviews with individuals within the organization to get a sense of the dominant culture, which could possibly be exclusionary. And then to use that data to eventually produce something that a takeaway for the organization to use and to produce practical mechanisms, I think, to give to the organization through that. But also, as Lita was talking about the dominant culture, it's really important to disentangle that from the core values and the core business, I guess, of the organization.
This is process speak. This is bureaucrat speak. This is textbook speak. What does that mean in practice, Lita? The dominant culture of the organization. Give me an example.
Okay, so if you have an example, actually, I want us to keep working with in practical case studies. A lady by the name of Ms. Ngwenya, who wrote an article in the Cape Times saying she's leaving Cape Town, she's going to Joburg. That was a very insightful article that spoke about the small things that you can't name properly, and you can't properly give a name to these social phenomena that's occurring, that's making you feel excluded. What we do is we provide a working model to say, okay, you have people of color who, or women, or people of different sexual identities who are leaving the space. Why do you think that is? What are the ways in which people are speaking to each other? What are the policies that are in place that are not allowing people maybe to feel that they are part of the institution? That's just the baseline point. And when that occurs, and when we take that long-term research, we get to a point where we can say, okay, cool. You have people that are, just a small example, of vegetarian within an organization, but every time there's a social function, it's at a place where people eat meat and they feel like they can't participate in that. A small thing to some, but many of those small things can actually culminate to something larger, which can cause an exodus of people. And so that's what we're saying. We're saying through our research, we can allow those small things to be A, articulated, and B, remedied for, you know, long-term change within an organization.
And you want an organizational culture. I'm very scared of these phrases. You want an organizational culture where if after the second time that a company function takes place at a restaurant, at a steakhouse, that the vegetarian can go to his or her superior or the top dog in the organization and say, please, can we next time go to somewhere where there is a much wider selection of vegetarian food so that the four of us who are vegetarian in this organization can eat as happily as the meat eaters.
And that those concerns will be taken seriously and respected as well. Because I think something that we come across a lot within this work, and a lot of people have this concern, is that in this era, you know, we are very concerned with taking care of everyone's feelings. And we say that when you have an organization with such a variety of people within it, if people are not able to see themselves within the organization, if they're not able to feel fully comfortable within the organization, they're not going to want to or feel that they're able to even give their best to perform to the best of their abilities within the organization too.
Okay, I suspect that there are a lot of organizations that do this kind of work because they think they have to, but there's an attitude of, really, I've got more important things. I've got clients to service. Yeah. I've got products to manufacture.
Yeah.
Every time I send somebody off to one of Lita and Dylan's focus groups, they're not doing their core job. They're not performing their core function, which is to make sure that the widgets get made at a rate of 150,000 a day.
Mm-hmm. Excellent concern. We love those kind of concerns because we can address them. What people often say is they don't have time for this kind of work. We need, as you say, we need to get into the efficacy of the job. But what we're saying is the job that we have is we do the heavy lifting for you. If we participate in a seminar explaining the need for transformation and what we're going to be doing, that takes 2 hours of everybody's time. If we do a focus group and we select certain people to come in and mine those insights of what it's like to work as a person of color, as a woman, as a person with mental health issues, etc., we take that data and we mine it into something that can be practical. A survey takes 15 minutes to find out people's sentiments and what they think of the workplace. We take all that stuff and turn it into a report that can actually be used. We've done it before. We did it now in this NGO that we're working with, and it doesn't take as long as management thinks. And so I know there are skeptics out there listening in their cars or at work, but we have a model which works, and we invite you to participate with us and, you know, contact us.
And also, I think what we've seen recently is that transformation and issues around inclusion only become a priority when something has happened. For example, you know, when there's been a case of sexual harassment, when there's been a case of exclusion or racism within the organization. But what's been so rewarding about working with this NGO that we've been working with is that they're doing proactive transformational work. So they're saying, okay, there's this conversation and dialogue happening both within South Africa and globally. How can we fit within it? Where do we fit within it? Where do our demographics fit within it? Where does our dominant culture fit within this new dialogue that's happening?
Okay, you said you wanted people to contact you. How do they do that?
You can go to our website, which is slcassociates.org, or contact us at info@slcassociates.org.
Associates in the plural. SLC, Social plural. Literary Conference. Social Literacy Conversation Associates with the plural S.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Dylan Campbell and Lita Sakutu, thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much, John, and thank you to your listenership for listening.